Bible expositors I've ever had the privilege of sitting under. Brother Lauren, come and preach what the Lord's laid on your heart. God bless.
Thank you. I've got this. Amen. Well, how's everybody feeling this evening? Feeling good. You look great for being in Ohio. You look great. No, it's good to be here. And it is such a thrill for me to be here with Pastor Greg and Sister Ravonna. I've watched as God has molded and used this man in the things of God. And it's been a privilege to watch his growth. This is the third church that I've been in that he has pastored. Now, what? That's a good thing. But this one that he's pastoring now is extremely special. And I really believe that God has a distinct purpose and use for it and for the people that are in it. And so it is with great pleasure that I'm here with you tonight. I would remind those of you in the area, if you can, come back, be with us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. and then right here again Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And we'll believe that God is going to touch you and help you and strengthen you. And we certainly want to do everything that we can to build you in the Lord while I'm here. And I know that if you are looking for a church that preaches the message of the cross and you are in this community, well, you found one. And the one thing that I know about Brother and Sister Browning is they're not trying to steal sheep, but they are growing grass. Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I appreciate Brother Browning mentioning taking the kids down to the youth camp. And Brother Browning, I'm going to donate $100 to that outreach for your kids. I want them there. And so I would encourage you, even if you don't want the messages, to support the kids getting down there, give $15 and get them and give them away to somebody. Maybe they'll be a help to them. But we're going to believe God, but I'll give you that check for the kids. And anybody else, you do as you feel led. But I want our kids knowledgeable of the message of the cross. I know they'll get it here, but when they go down to Baton Rouge in just a few weeks' time, what's going to happen is they're going to see youth that are learning the message of the cross. This is not just strange or foreign to our locale or our church. They're going to find youth from all over the world, literally all over the world, that are learning this message. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, have you found it? Would you stand with me as we read the Word of God, just in honor of the Word? 1 Peter, I'm going to read more than I'll preach tonight. Our focus will be on verses 5 through 9, but I can't start in the middle of a paragraph. It just offends me. So I have to start a little bit at the beginning of the paragraph in verse 3. If you're there, read with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, and I want you to notice that, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. One of the problems that we have in the church world today is that the church world itself does not see the benefits that the cross brings into our life each and every day. In fact, Brother Swigert said something on the radio programming last week, and I'm encouraging him to say it over again and again and again, and I'm going to do the same, and it's this thought. You need to bring the cross into a present tense view. It's not just something that happened 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 1 year ago, 5 months ago when you got saved. You need to bring the cross into the present tense. It's right now. You need to see how it affects you today, how it benefits you today. So many Christians say, well, I know all about the cross. I know everything that the cross stands for. I know all that it has to offer. But if it's in your mind in the past tense, then you're not living in the experience of theology. You only own theology in your mind. And you've got to bring it from a theological standpoint or belief system from the past into the present, or it doesn't do you any good. And so what we want to talk about tonight is this, the present benefits of the cross. The present benefits of the cross. And we hope as the Lord will help us to go through this, three major points were kept by God's power. There's trials of purpose before us, and we have an end of faith that we need to experience. Would you pray with me tonight? Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking right now that you would anoint me with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking that the true preacher and the true teacher would come and would guide my thinking and guide my words and edify us and strengthen all of these that have gathered here. I thank you for them, Lord, and I ask that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would rest upon them as well and upon the recorded devices, Lord. Let the message and the anointing of this moment and hour run through to help the people that will listen later. And we'd ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Whenever I read about Peter or I look at something from Peter, his writings, 1st and 2nd Peter, there is a standard thought that runs through my mind. When I think about the life of the Apostle Peter, I think that it screams out one major truth to us, even though there's such a multitude of things we could learn from him. But his life says this to me. It says, don't quit. It says, no matter what you go through, don't quit. No matter how many times you fail or stumble, don't quit. No matter how many times you go beyond where you think you'll ever fail again, and then you mess it up all over again, don't quit. And I think we could all use that message. Somebody shout amen. Amen. I think that there's a need for us to understand that there's a way by which we can keep moving forward. We can keep moving through the situations of life, both good and bad, in a way that is appropriate and in a way that is pleasing to God. Because that, as a believer, is what we want. We want ultimately for our lives to be pleasing to God. I want at the end of my journey to hear from Him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear numbers. I don't want to hear applause. I don't want to hear about reward. I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want his opinion of me to be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And there's only one way I'm going to arrive at that moment in time that I long for, and that is if I don't quit. I don't quit. I don't stop. And in order for me to be equipped to go forward, I need to understand, as I mentioned earlier, the benefits of the cross in my everyday life. Peter learned through the Apostle Paul these benefits, and later in his epistle begins to lay them out before us. We need to understand, and I'll say it because I know not everyone in the congregation. I don't know where exactly you are in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what it is that you understand. And so I have to assume that no one understands anything. But the gospel is simple. It is a simple gospel. It was made simple so that all men, all women, all boys, all girls could participate in it without problem. The gospel had to be simple so that every man, no matter what his culture, every woman, no matter what her background, every child, no matter what their capacity for learning might be, would be able to grasp the simplicity that is in Christ. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son, and He died on an old rugged cross as payment for my sin. And if I accept what was done for me at Calvary on that day 2,000 years ago, God has promised me something. As a result of my faith in who Jesus is and what Jesus accomplished for me at Calvary, God responds by sending me what I haven't worked for, what I don't earn, and what I can't deserve. By my faith in His redemption plan, by my faith in what God has provided in Christ, I receive something in my heart. I am regenerated. I am transformed. I am conformed into the image of Christ by His grace. So the process of God is simple and it never changes. It is always by faith in what He has provided, I receive grace to be saved. It's that simple. I place my faith in what God, not what man provides, not what religion provides, not works, not measures or means of man, but I place my faith in what God has prescribed as in regard to salvation, His Son and His death on the cross, which cut covenant for me, and I receive grace that I can't work for, that I can't earn, and that I can't deserve. In a moment's time, I'm circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In a moment's time, simple faith has brought me to a place where my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. In a moment's time, simple faith has washed away every stain as far as the east is from the west. In a moment's time, I've been baptized into Christ, immersed into Him. I've been crucified with Him. I've been buried with Him, and I'm raised up with Him to live in Him from a new source of life. In a moment's time, earning nothing, knowing nothing. I haven't even quoted John 3:16 yet. But I say yes to God's redemption plan. And the miracle and the power of God's grace is extended to me. Now understand this. God's grace coming to me is the working of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that performs the regeneration that has occurred in me. So watch what happens. I place my faith in what God has done. I place my faith in what God has provided. What has He provided? He provided me with a Savior. And where was that Savior carrying out the plan of redemption? At Calvary. So when I say I'm placing my faith in the cross, it's a synonym of God's redemption plan. It's a synonym of Christ and Him crucified. It's a synonym of God's redemption plan for all to be saved. There's only so many ways you can say it. I'm not looking for a new way to say it. There's only so many ways you can say, place your faith in the cross. And when I say that, I'm saying place your faith in Christ Jesus, who was the sacrifice and payment of sin, who broke the power of sin at His death on Calvary, who paid the price at Calvary when He said, "It is finished." He didn't say it after the resurrection. He didn't say it after 3 days was over. He didn't say it at the right hand of the Father. He said it on the cross. So it was on the cross. It said it was at the cross. The old song says, at the cross of the cross, where I first saw the light. Hallelujah. And the burden of my soul was rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Why? Because still today, some 25 years after my initial salvation experience, I still depend. I still look to the old rugged cross. I'm still dependent upon what God did there because I know that today, in and of myself, I need God's grace. I need the work of the Holy Spirit. I need the help that can come from Him to live out my Christian experience right now in this present world at this present time. So my experience of the cross is not 25 years ago. My experience of the cross is a this morning experience. It's a this afternoon experience. It's a right now, this evening, because I know that I can't do what you need unless my faith is in what Christ has supplied at Calvary, and God is giving me grace to minister to you right now. I don't have what it takes to do that in and of myself. But so my cross experience, my experience in Christ is a present tense, I'm dependent right now. I said, I'm dependent right now. I'm more dependent than I was 25 years ago because I didn't know how much I lacked 25 years ago. Having a little experience and stubbing my toe, just a time or two. Finding my face in the dirt, just a time or two every day. Just has made me see that, Lord, without You, I can do nothing. I need to depend on Christ and the covenant He cut. I need to depend on Christ and Him crucified. I need to depend on God's redemption plan. I need to depend on Christ crucified so that grace, the work of the Holy Spirit, may come to me freely and equip me for the day. Equip me by taking out of me what I don't need. Equip me by placing into me what I don't have. And the longer I live for God, the more I see my need. I become, as I mature in Christ, more dependent. I don't become independent. Bless God, He did it for me, and now I don't need anything else. That's ridiculous. That's carnal thinking. The man that doesn't think he needs anything from God today, or the man that thinks God's done everything for him that God is ever going to do, is the man that is immature, that is carnal, and that is missing out on what God has him for today. We need to bring this message then into a daily understanding of dependence on Christ and what He did for me at Calvary, and receiving what I don't have. What is it that you need from God right now? Think about it. What is it that you've got to have? And please don't limit God to spiritual things alone. I know we've had an overemphasis on money and physical things in the church, but that's because God does want to meet some of those needs. That's not His priority in the overview of things, but neither is it a minority in His overview. Did He not control Egypt through the plagues, through the great signs that wrecked Egypt? But yet at the same time, physically in Goshen, His people were protected. Because He cared about physical things, even as He was introducing the spiritual truth of the Passover and the blood going on. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you're a believer, you're living in the land of Goshen. And you can ask God for help. Where the rest of America starts going through a turmoil, ask God to protect you just like He did His children in the land of Goshen. It may affect Egypt, but it doesn't have to affect you. Why? Because your God is a God that cares about physical things. Your God is a God that cares about making sure you have enough for you and your family. Your God is a God that understands how high gas prices have gone. And while the world pulls its hair out, the land of Goshen will still be equipped, I'm just trying to help you here, to let you know that God is concerned about your needs, whatever they are. Now we understand Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, one of the things that we need to see is that God is ready, willing, and able to do what we need in our present day, both physical and spiritual, but that it all comes as a result of what Christ did for me at the cross? Do I need more income? You can have it by faith and grace. Do I need to still my vile temper? My gossipy tongue. Tongues are harder than temper, so I said it three times. What is it that needs to be changed about us? It can only be changed through God's grace. It can only be changed. So we look to God as maturing believers for every single aspect of our life. We never turn from faith in the cross. Now, Peter is writing to a group of people who have been taught this. They have been initiated into the kingdom and the things of God in the right way. Paul was not just given the message, but he was to be the protector of that message. And he, through a series of events, was able to teach Peter the message as well. You'll remember Galatians chapter 2, where Peter was rebuked because he attended not to the proper message. And I won't go into the details, it would take too long. But he learned from the Apostle Paul what it was that it took to live for God. And he passed that on to all that would hear. Now, part of Peter's work would take him to this area in the writing of this epistle that bears his name. And you need to understand this process, that these people were under great persecution. They were undergoing great trials and great troubles. And so Peter comes and he says the things that I've already said. He understands that they understand the message of the cross. But he comes to them and exhorts them and encourages them. He gives them words such as this. He said, "Don't think it strange, the fiery trial that is to try you." Okay, we don't like that preached in church. I could tell by all the... Don't think it strange, the fiery trial. Don't think that you're going to sit here as a Christian and never undergo anything. If you don't undergo anything, it's because you don't have anything. But if you have something, God's going to take you through something. Because He wants to prove to you how great of a God He is. He wants to prove to you that you need Him more than you know. There's a lot of things God wants us to teach us about ourselves in our Christian experience. And Peter is writing to a people that understand the message of the cross. They understand grace and faith. And they understand that how God works. Now, Peter is writing them to encourage them in a time of opposition, in a time of trial, in a time where it looks like God may have forgotten them. And he writes to them in verse 5, and he says, "To you who are kept by the power of God through," what? "Through faith." What I came to tell you tonight, if you're a person that understands the message of the cross, you've been versed in it, you are going to be kept by the power of God Almighty. You are being kept. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. I don't care what the enemy has told you. This is what God says about you. You are to be kept by the power. It means to be preserved physically and spiritually. It means to be guarded. It means to be maintained. It means to be watched over and defended. It means to keep from harm, to take care of, to tend, or to support. You're going to be kept. You need to touch your neighbor on the shoulder and tell him, "You're kept by the power of God. You're 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 maintained by the power of God. You are guarded by the power of God." God has set up a guardian around you, if you will, and you are going to be kept by His power. Hallelujah! 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 God looked at you when He caught you and put you into His fisherman's boat and said, "It's a keeper." Some of you fishermen throwing out the small ones, God's kept them all. He says, I'm going to keep this one. I'm going to put guardians around. I'm going to protect. This is what you need to remember as you go through a difficult time. This is where your faith in the cross needs to come alive, because you're saying, Lord, I believe that what Jesus did for me at Calvary is sufficient for God to keep me today. You don't have to be dominated by circumstances. You don't have to be dominated by worry. You don't have to be dominated by the price of the barrels of oil hitting our country. You don't have to be dominated by a world that is lost and outside of God. You are being kept by the power, by the power, by the power, by the power of God. You're not kept by the power of the United States. You're not kept by the power of a denomination or a structure. You're not kept by religion. But God Himself knows your name, knows your address. He's even got your email. Watch what you're doing on the internet. God understands where you are, and you are being kept by the power of God. Kept by God's power mean that you're counting on His ability, on His strength. Now, I just got to remind you, if God is for you, if God's strength and ability and power is for you, if God's strength, ability, and power is defending you, if God's strength, ability, and power is keeping you, what are you afraid of? What are you nervous about? What are you scared about? God's power is keeping you. God's ability. Not the United States Senate. Not the President of the United States. Not the greatest agencies in the world. Not the CIA or the FBI or anybody else. You are being kept by the power that belongs to the One who created all things, who was and is to come, who holds the planets in His hands, knows the breath of everyone on the planet. He knows your need. He knows where you are. And you, if you're a believer in what God has done for you at Calvary, receiving grace each and every day through faith, you are being kept by the power of Almighty God. Amen. Almighty God. Say, well, I'm not quite sure if that's enough. Well, I think Daniel would tell you it's enough. When they throw you into the lion's den, Daniel experienced being kept by the power of God. The three Hebrew boys, when they went into a fiery furnace, found out that it was enough to be kept by the power of God. Paul and Silas, in a jail at midnight, beaten almost to death, found out that it was enough to be kept by the power. Someone help me in here. Peter in prison, laying on a bed ready to be executed the next day, woke up and there was an angel said, what are you hidden here for? We're going out. And in the middle of the night, in the middle of a dungeon, he walks out past the guards. The gate opens up on its own volition. And if God would do it for them, God will do it for you, and He'll do it for me. Because we are people of faith and grace, we are kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Larson, I've never been kept by the power of God. I've never been let out of jail. Oh yeah? How about a jail of emotion? Have you ever been so down you couldn't lift your head? Has depression and oppression ever hit you to the point that you couldn't move? Have you ever been ready to give it up, give it out, give it in, and just quit and go back into the world? And all of a sudden, there's something on the inside of you went, Something inside of you began to tune up. Mm-hmm. something rose up on the inside of you because you remembered the word the preacher said. Or you turned on Sunlight Radio and there was a song that said, whoa, wait a minute. Something came alive on the inside of you. And it rose up, and all of a sudden what looked impossible didn't even look like it was a problem. All of a sudden what looked like it was going to destroy you was not even something you were concerned about. Ladies and gentlemen, at that point in time, you were experiencing being kept by the power of God. Hallelujah! Because when your faith is in what Christ has done for us at Calvary, you can expect grace anytime you need it. You can expect God to do the impossible anytime you need it. I didn't say every time you wish it would come. I said every time you need it. Hallelujah. You were down, ready to give up, and all of a sudden you said, wait a minute. I know that in my flesh I shall see God. And when I come through this present situation, I'm not going to be the same person. I'm going to be tried in the fire, and I'm going to be pure as gold. You are being kept. I said, if you're operating in faith and grace, you can take this word to the bank. You can take it home. You can put it on the refrigerator. You can tell everyone that opposes you. You can oppose me if you want to, but I'm being kept by the power of an almighty God, because my faith is in Christ, the living Son of God who died for me at Calvary, and His death on Calvary cut a covenant so that I could receive exactly what I needed. Physically or spiritually at any time. And God is watching over me. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on that little sparrow, and I know, and I know, and I know He watches me. Why should I be discouraged? Why should the shadows come? I can't remember the words. Someone help me. Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. You're being kept. You're being kept. You're being kept. In the middle of the night, you are being kept. On the freeway, you are being kept. On the job, you are being kept. Hallelujah. God is keeping you. You are kept by the power of God through faith. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Larson, I love that. But if I'm being kept by the power of faith, then how come? How come? How come I gotta go through stuff? Why do I have to face trials at all? Why do I have to be discomfited? Why, as the scripture said that we read tonight, Or am I in heaviness through manifold temptations? Well, Peter said, if need be. Now, I got to tell you this. You're wondering about the trial that you're in. God saw a need. You know why you're in the trial you're in? God saw a need. He needed to change something about you. And so He brought you to a place where you couldn't do anything about your circumstance and situation. He brought you to a place that was beyond your capacity. You see, God is in charge of your life, not the devil. The devil only has the ability to do what God grants him permission to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says that God is faithful in that He will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. So who's in charge of temptation and trial? Thank you. Who's in over here? Who's in charge of temptation or trial? Who's in charge of your trial? Who's in charge of your temptation? Who's in charge of your trial? Who's in charge of your temptation? God wants you to experience how to exit that trial in the power of His grace. But to do that, we're going to have to go from just the theology of faith to the exercising of your faith. So God says it this way, if I see a need, we're going to a place where a trial of your faith is going to occur. Do you really believe that trust in the cross will bring you what you have to have through the Spirit via God's grace when you have to have it? Oh, it's easy to shout about Daniel, and it's easy to shout about a testimony of another brother or sister that God's done something for, but what about your dark hour? What do you need to understand about what's going on in your life? What are you going to do when everybody else is gone and you can't talk to anybody but God? You're going to have to look at Him and say, Lord, I don't know what it is that You want me to learn, but I'm going to quit asking You why and start asking You what. What is it I'm supposed to learn? What is it that needs to change? What is it that Your grace is going to put in me? What is it that I need to mature in You? God didn't send the trial or allow the temptation to kill you. He brought it so it would mature you and complete you in some fashion or form. The heaviness that you're feeling now is the oppression that's come by the enemy and the circumstances, and it is real and it is there. And there's not a one of us that would ever say, oh, that's wrong to feel that. No, you feel that when you're human. You feel the heaviness of, and He said here, manifold temptations. Have you ever noticed that when it rains, it pours? Have you ever noticed that, you know, when one thing goes wrong, then it's the next thing that goes wrong, then it's the next thing. What is that? God is testing your faith. He's putting you in a measuring stick to see if you'll still draw from the processes of faith and is grace still sufficient, or do you need to do something? Do you need to interfere? Do you need to get in the way? And everything in you wants to rise up and bop somebody in the nose. Everything, okay, I'm not talking to believers here, I can't. Everything in you wants to rise up and take control. And God is showing you how much, number one, you still want to rise up. He's revealing to us, notice I said us, He's revealing to us how much we still want to take over. And it seems like it's bad enough if it's one hit. But if it's a hit, and then another hit, and then another hit, and then another hit, and then another hit, man, and you're feeling, listen, this is not fun, you're feeling the heaviness of manifold temptation.
aggravation, irritation.
I'm not talking to anybody who knows what I'm speaking of. All of a sudden, you're just ready to explode, and if you don't explode, you don't know what's going to... Now, you're going to learn to depend on grace. Now, sadly, most of the time, when I get past my push point, mine, not yours, I see a little bit too much of Lauren and a whole lot less of Christ. And even that can teach me. Even that is a lesson. I didn't have to arrive there. If I would have submitted the situation to the Lord and trusted in grace to be sufficient. I had a circumstance just this week where I failed in. And I'll tell you a little bit about it, but not the details. But it had to do with my son. Now listen, you can say what you want to, but when your son is attacked or your daughter is attacked, you're going to find out how saved you really are. And even in this case, it was his own stupidity. But the way he was dealt with, I didn't think was fair. And they're just lucky I didn't let Mama Bear out of her cage. But I found that after I exploded, don't look at me like that, I saw where I should have submitted it to the cross. Now, I know none of you have ever had to do that. But I'm just trying to help you through my failure. I said, and, you know, was it a big deal? Well, it was to me because I want to experience God's grace to take that anger and that self-preservation and even the protection of my family. God's got my back. But if I'm rising up and taking control of the situation, then I got to protect them. And that's where we lose. I should have been able to submit this manifold, and it was, believe me, in my life it was like boom, 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 and then this. And I went, ah! Well, that's good because I would have a year ago. Okay, none of you understand what I'm trying to put the cross in the present tense. All those things, and the emotion comes and the aggravation comes and you lay awake at night and stare at the ceiling and pray in tongues and it gets a little better, but it doesn't go away. You reason it out and you think it through and you look at all those headaches and heartaches and aggravations and you have a choice. You can either take it to the cross and receive grace, or you can make a fool of yourself and have to apologize to folk. I'm glad that my foolery was limited. Only a couple of people I had to apologize to. But it taught me again that God is keeping me. But when he sees something in Lauren Larson he wants to change, manifold temptations will be brought into my life to teach me how to trust in the cross in a greater measure. Present tense trust. Not I trusted when I had that bill. Not just I trusted when I was sick. Not just I trusted. See, God can do all things. But we need, and listen, I'll tell you something else. This, that we're traveling through the trial of your faith, and I'm taking too much time here, I apologize. The trial of our faith gives us this idea in the Greek language that we have to have this trial to experience whether or not our faith is genuine. And once we pass through the trial and we learn how to depend upon it in the right measure, we can walk in that level of faith. So the trial is to approve your faith so you can live in it. What's that mean? Next time when the multiple things add up, I'll be able to take it to the cross a little sooner with a little more better efficiency. Next time, if need be. And I know me, so if need be, it's coming. If need be is coming for you too, don't be smiling at me like, well, what's wrong with him? Oh, eat off your own plate. It's full. Buffet line, here we are. But now, the portion of my faith that is truly resting in the cross, when I move through a trial, is approved. Now I can walk in that faith. Now it becomes applicable to my everyday life. Now it becomes a part of me, what I'm used to doing, because my faith has been tried and it was stayed in the cross and grace came. And now we can move forward and even learn to do greater things for God. One of the first lessons I learned as a minister was how to depend upon God for finances. He did that by taking everything away. You're laughing at me, but that's how he taught me to believe him. He took me down to nothing. When you got zero, it's easy to believe God because you ain't got nothing and can't do nothing. And when you ain't got nothing and you can't do nothing, and God supplies, you understand. And when he does it consistently, that's a part of your life that you can now walk in. That's why after 2 years of Bible college, I went into full-time ministry, because God had taught me that while I was in Bible college and before. And I went into full-time prison ministry. They don't pass the plate in prison ministry. Money is illegal in prisons. I wasn't being paid from the Swigert Ministries. They couldn't afford to pay a prison ministry pastor. I operated that way for 2 years. Where'd my money come from? Well, I cleaned a swimming pool once a week for $35 a week. That was our food budget. Three of us, my wife, my oldest daughter, and myself. And the rest of it came. I fell in love with my mailbox. I never knew when I'd get a $20 Pentecostal handshake that supplied me with gas for the week. Now it wouldn't be gas for the trip, but it was gas for the week then. 2 years God taught me without a check. Never missed a bill. Never late on rent. Never late on a payment. And you learn to walk in that. And it becomes a portion of your approved faith. And now I learned that man wasn't my source. God was my source. So if man says, I'm not going to resource you, I'm not worried about that, because my faith says you're not my source anyway. I live with that. But whatever God has approved your faith in, to that measure, you can live and walk in. So what you're going through right now is establishing your approval level of faith. And once it's established, you can live in that portion of your faith. You can walk in that portion of your faith. You can experience the grace of God daily in that portion of your faith. Do we still have more to learn? If need be. But the portion that we learn, we now walk in. Now we're strengthened and it becomes normal for us. I'm boring you. I've got to hurry. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, were kept by God's power through faith. We have trials or seasons of purpose, temporary trials that are maintained by faith. And ultimately, we're going to see the end of our faith. Now, that doesn't mean the conclusion where we don't believe anymore. It means the end result of your faith. Peter says here that, number one, you're going to love someone you've never seen. Do you love him tonight? You've never seen him, but you love him. He's changed your life. He found you. You didn't find him. I was a drunk. I was a drug addict. I was a cocaine dealer. I was a drug dealer. He found me. I wasn't looking for him. He found me. And I love him. This is the end of my faith. I'm justified tonight. What's that mean? It means that I've placed my faith in what God has done for me at Calvary. And God has declared over my life, not guilty. Innocent of all charges. I'm justified tonight. As a result of my faith, I'm being sanctified. What's that mean? It means my faith is in Christ and Him crucified. And grace is coming to change me. I'm not the same man I was 2 weeks ago, just a few miles up the road. I've been changed by the power of God. I'm not the same man I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 months ago. Because I'm being sanctified and being changed by the power of God. This is the end of my faith. And ultimately, one day when the trumpet of God sounds, and this body is changed from mortality to immortality, I will experience glorification as an end result of my faith. Meanwhile, I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because no matter what I'm going through, no matter what life presents, I know that it's better than just circumstances. My God is in control. I know that I'm being kept by the power of God. And so when the bad times come, God help me to receive grace and say, thank you, Jesus. Say, I love you, Lord. Let me rejoice in the midst of anxiety. Let me give Him praise in the midst of my trial. Let me lift up a voice that says, I don't really understand it all, but I still believe in who you are and what you are doing in me. And as I exhibit that faith and lift up that voice of rejoicing, all of a sudden there comes what no one can explain to me. Joy unspeakable. From the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, there I am in Walmart going, whoa! Well, they already think you're nuts anyway. You might as well just go ahead on and prove it out. Here you are on a Friday night. You're not getting drunk. You're not in the ball game. You're in church. You've got to be a fanatic. So you might as well just stand up in Walmart and go, whoa! When it hits you, you might as well just speak in tongues and lift your hands way up in the air in the middle of the car. Anyway, they already think you're nuts. But what they ain't got is what you got. And what they're not feeling is what you're feeling. And if they get close enough to what you got and hear and see what you got, they get close enough to that river, they might just fall in. So when you feel joy unspeakable, full of glory, I don't care where you are, going down the highway, wherever you are, raise your hands where it's safe and tell the Lord, I love you. This is the end result of your faith. This is the power of God's grace equipping you, and this is what makes our life as a Christian worth living. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. Oh, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory, It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of
of glory and behalf has never yet been told.
Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Michelle, if you would, please come to the piano. You're being kept by the power of God. Your trials and temptations have a reason, and there's an end result of your faith. There's a joy that is yours. But we came tonight, some of us being pressured, experiencing those tests. You're right in the middle of them. Mine, I'm glad I didn't have to preach right in the middle of them. I've had that. Mine is over for a little while, but maybe yours is not. And you came here tonight with a heavy heart. And you believe in the cross. You believe in God's grace. But somehow you just need a little help getting over the edge. And the word's been preached to you tonight that you're going to make it. God's going to keep you with His power. But you need a little help, and you're here. And there's people here that know exactly how you feel. And I put myself in the front of that line. And you're saying, Brother Larson, if I don't see a breakthrough in my spirit, I'm not sure I can make it. Or this thing is heavy. I don't know where to turn. I just want to be with saints that understand what it is I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And I'm here to tell you, you are there. And I'm going to open up these altars. And if you're in a time of trial, in a time of seeking God that you need extra help for, take advantage of this moment and step out from where you're standing and make your way down to this altar. Let us pray with you. Amazing grace, how sweet the... Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to ask help of your brothers and sisters who love you. Next week it may be you. Like me, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Someone else, you need a touch from God. You need help from the Lord. We're just here to accept what word has been spoken. I want you to raise your hands towards heaven and raise your hands towards these. And if you're needing something from God, you can get it right where you are. You can get it right where you stand tonight. You don't have to make your way down to this altar, but it's an expression of faith that says, I believe God can help. That will help you as you step out in that means, in that way. And I'm going to ask if you would, if you're good tonight and you see someone at this altar, come lay your hands on them. Build an altar of praise around them. Stand behind them and encourage them right now. Come forward and help us in that. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray your blessing upon these that have come, this family, these people. Father, let the power of God and the moving and the operation of the Holy Spirit come right now in Jesus' name. Father, the trials of life are hard. The situations are difficult. But Father, we're believing in Jesus' name and the power of God to be released into this heart, into this body, into this mind, into this being. Let the grace of God come as a result of faith. Let the lesson be learned. Let trust be built. Let dependence be magnified. Let the power of God flow. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we're kept by the power of God. We understand what you're doing, but we need your help. We need your strength. We need you to impart grace to us as a result of Calvary right now. Teach us to wait. Teach us to depend. Teach us to receive your strength in Jesus' precious name. Father, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus. Let your Spirit heal every bruise. Let your Spirit heal the brokenhearted. Let your Spirit touch from the inward man this woman that stands here by the power of your Spirit. Father, I'm asking you to renew and revitalize her strength and her faith. Lord, cleanse away the issue of the day, the hour, the moment, the trial, and place within her that joy unspeakable and full of glory that causes her to rejoice in the face of opposition. Move on her behalf. Move towards her and in her. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Come on, let's just raise our hands for a moment. We're not going to hold you much longer. Let's just love Him. Lord, we've never seen you, but tonight we love you. Lord, we've never seen you physically, but tonight we love you. You are that which we desire. You are all we need. You are all we have to have. Father, what you did for us at Calvary in Christ is sufficient. And God, we're going to believe you for every single item of every single day. Father, we're going to trust and depend. We're going to be kept by the power of God as we travel through trials. And we're going to rejoice, which is the end of our faith, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're going to magnify the name that is above every name. We're going to exhibit supernatural strength in Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. At the cross, Brother Greg, when I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight.
At the cross we receive faith. At the cross we'll receive strength. At the cross we'll receive victory. At the cross we'll receive everything we have need of. Yes, Lord. Now I am happy. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Don't you just feel a gentle and beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit? My soul has been strengthened and encouraged tonight because of the Word of God that's been preached. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I want to pray for just a couple of people before we're dismissed tonight that the Lord's really laid on my heart. And Brother Wiley, would you come up here? Brother Wiley, would you come? I want to pray for you tonight. Michelle, I know you're playing the piano now, but I want to pray for you tonight. Both of these dear folks have faced a severe health trial this week. And I just believe, I'm believing God to heal them tonight. Put your faith together. Let's believe Him tonight. Thank you, Brother Lauren. Michelle and Brother Wiley, would you all come here? Some of you sisters gather around her and lay hands on her. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come tonight. And Lord, we don't understand everything, but as Lauren so eloquently preached tonight from your word, if need be. And Lord, you're in control of everything that's going on in Michelle's life, but I'm asking for a miracle of God tonight. I'm asking for healing virtue to go forth from the risen Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that come Friday morning, we would see a miracle, Lord Jesus, in Michelle's body. Lord, give her peace. And give her comfort. And let her know you're in control of everything that's going on in her life. You haven't brought Andy and her this far, Lord, to leave them. Bless their entire family this week, Father, in Jesus' name. And I really believe, Lord, we've touched your throne tonight. And that we're going to hear of a miracle in the name of Jesus. Brother Wiley, would you come here? I want to pray for you tonight. Brother Wiley needs a touch in his body tonight. Lay your hands on him, church. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, We are believing you for a complete healing of this angina that has been plaguing him, Lord. Father, you made this heart, and I know you can heal it. And we look exclusively under the power of Jesus Christ, where our healing is provided for in the shedding of his blood to make us whole in every way, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. We ask for the healing virtue of Jesus Christ to flow into his body tonight and to heal him completely. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Julie, would you come here? I'd like to pray for you tonight. I want you all to lay your hands on Julie. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, minister grace and comfort unto my sister, Lord. And Lord, do the healing that only you can do, Lord, that only comes through the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, minister a fresh touch of your grace and mercy, manifested in the form of healing. In the name of Jesus to Julie tonight, Lord. Throw your arms around her and pull her close to you, Lord. And let her feel the warmth of your love and the comfort of your embrace, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and your power that comes through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. If there's anybody tonight before we're dismissed, and I'm not going to hold you much longer, just a couple of minutes, right where you are, would you just stand and lift your hands in praise unto the King of Kings as a sign of submission, as a sign of faith, saying, I know he can heal me, and I believe he's going to. Let's, in whatever way you would need right now, let's believe him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, for every pair of hands that's raised right now, that's a soul saying, I lay my faith at the foot of the bloodstained cross. And Lord, we know you're not going to refuse us by faith tonight. We reach out with trembling, fear-filled hands to the one who has all power, to the one who has all authority. And we ask you, Lord, heal everyone that has their hands raised right now through your grace and mercy in whatever way they need, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're wonderful. Yeah, I feel his glory in this house tonight. Miracles are happening right now, saints. Power is being dispatched from the everlasting throne of the living God. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God. I tell you, we've been in the presence of God tonight, church. We heard from the Lord tonight. Amen. I want to thank Brother Larson so much for ministering God's Word and for opening up and being so personal with us. You know, because we're all great, strong people of faith, and it was nice he was able to share with us. You know, even though it was hard for us to understand what the hell, I'm being very facetious, Lord. He read her mail and ate her lunch, didn't he? Amen. Amen. That was a beautiful word. Beautiful word. We're kept by the power of God. Amen. Aren't you glad you came to the house of God tonight? I tell you, it's Memorial Day weekend, and some people, as Lauren mentioned, would wonder, what on earth y'all having church for Memorial Day weekend? There is no place I would have rather have been tonight. There's no beach, no boat. And there's nothing wrong with those things. They got their place. But tonight it was appointed for you and I to be in the house of God, and we have received from Almighty God. Amen? Praise God. Let's give him one more hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah.